So the reason we picked this topic was this year I'm close to the age of 70. So I had to pick the topic where Hari Hari Kiben Shivim Shana. But Rabbi Jay gave me three different topics. We have to start with the Avadim Ayinu. And if you want a fun question to ask at your Seder, who wrote the words to the song Avadim Ayinu? And does anyone know the answer? Most people don't. It's a famous composer. His name was Moshe Ben Amram. You've heard of him? Moshe Ben Amram. He wrote a great book called Sefer Dvarim. And
Vaguely familiar.
And when you read the psukim of what we're quoting from, it helps us understand Haggadah altogether. Now remember, the Manishtana, remember, it was one question where the child's asking, what's special about tonight? You're trying to get my attention, bringing four proofs that you're trying to get my attention. I'm sure you covered that already. And now we have to answer the son with the answer. Now, why did the Haggadah pick Avadim Hayinu for the answer? So the answer is real simple. I'm going to share my screen. And I have a source sheet here somewhere. Better be here. Here we go. In Sefer Dvarim, in chapter, remember chapter 5 starts the speech. Chapter 6 starts with the Shema and the Mitzvot. But before the Mitzvot begin, Moshe says the following. I don't think I shared my screen. Did I share my screen? No, I'm sharing my screen. We're good,
Yes.
right? Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu says as follows. Ah, I know what I did wrong. Moshe says as follows. Ki shachah bincha machar lemor, ma haidot v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tzivah Hashem Elokeinu etchem. Famous question, right? How come we all know this question?
Rabbi
Which question?
Lutag, we lost your sound.
We lost my sound. That is not
I
good.
hear it. You're still here.
We said, okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. So so that's the famous question. And in the Haggadah, remember whose question it is? Some people say the Rasha, some say the Chacham. In our Haggadah, it's the Chacham. And our Haggadah takes this question out of context and turns it into a question about what are the laws of the Seder. And that's a question from the wise son who wants to learn more and more laws. And we answer him, learn Masechet Pesachim, Hilchot Pesach, the laws of Pesach, to the laws of Afikoman. But in Chumash, this is a totally normal child. And he's asking the most classic question every child asks, why do we have to keep the laws? Or for what? What's the purpose of these laws? Now, the answer is not Avadim Ayinu. The answer begins with Avadim Ayinu. Follow? And we tell our children the reason why God, we were slaves in Egypt, and God took us out with an outstretched hand, we quote here, and God did all these miracles in front of our own eyes, and then Votanu Hutzi Misham, he took us out of Egypt, right? In order to bring us to the land that he swore to our folk, to fulfill the covenant he made to our ancestors, to make us a nation in the land. And why did he give us all these mitzvot? He took us out of Egypt to give us the land, and he commanded us to keep all these laws to teach us to fear God for our own good, the Tov Lanu Kol Hayamim. And it's the right thing to do when we keep all these laws as God commands us. So in a nutshell, what we're told, what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling our children is there's a purpose in Yetzeat Mitzrayim. Understand? There's a reason why God's involved in our history. It's not that we were stuck and God came and helped us, but rather God took us out of Egypt. We'll see later. He put us into Egypt to take us out of Egypt for a purpose to become a nation, not just to give us a land, but to be a nation in a land serving God by keeping his Torah mitzvot. Now, there's a big difference to what we do at our Seder to what Chumash is talking about. And that's the key point that I want to make here is that in our Seder, now I can close this screen. Oh no, right here. Where's the one page Haggadah? In our Haggadah, you can see this is a nice little source sheet to have. We have the Manishtana, and I have to make it nice and bigger now. We have the Manishtana, and we move to the side. And here's all sections we'll be doing. We quote from Moshe Rabbeinu, but we don't quote his entire answer because here we're asking what's special about tonight. And the answer that Moshe Rabbeinu tells us in Sefer Dvarim to tell our children when they're asking why keep the entire Torah, we use it to answer the Manishtana to get the children involved. And when you look at the source, the answer is there's a purpose in God's involvement in our history. And here, the answer to the simple children here is simple. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. God took us out with an outstretched hand. And if he didn't take us out, we'd still be slaves. Remember that? Now, that's not the story of the Exodus, but rather, that's a nice, simple answer, what we call in English, Hakaras HaTov, in Hebrew, expression of gratitude. With young children simply know, God did you a favor, say thank you. And that's going to be his big, that's the answer. That's a nice, simple answer. most children will say when they get older, oh, leave me alone. That was so 4,000 years ago. There must be something much deeper, as we'll see very soon. And what's hiding in the answer, if you know the source, it's a nice, simple answer for young children, that it's all about gratitude. When you read the source in Chumash, it's about purpose. Not just expression of gratitude, but recognition of destiny. Now, therefore, as soon as we answer the short response to the children, we turn right to the adults before we lose them and say, even if we're all wise men and know it all, and we know the story, and we're elders, etc., we know the entire Torah, there's still a value, an important value in telling the story, and the more you tell the story, the better. Right? That's famous. In other words, the story is also for adults. Now we have to see why. Now, paragraph 4, which is famous, the five rabbis of Bnei Brak, is not the story of the Exodus, but rather, it's a proof of paragraph 3. We just made a halachic statement. Even know-it-alls have to tell the story. And then we bring a story about five know-it-alls who were up all night telling the story, and that proves that the Seder night is also for wise men and know-it-alls, and not just for children, because they have a message as well. Their message is going to be recognition of destiny. Now, but I think there's a more important reason why paragraph 4 is here. The whole goal of paragraph 4 is to get to paragraph 5, which is my main topic today. And what's paragraph 5 about? One of these five rabbis was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and was sharing one of his conversations. And what did he tell his friends that night in Bnei Brak? He says, hey, I'm hitting 70, right? And I never understood what's the reason why we have to mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim even at night. In other words, I understand once a year, maybe once a day, but every day and every night, the way I understand it, he doesn't understand what's this obsession with the need to constantly remember the Exodus every day and every night when we say Shema. What's the need for it? And his Rebbe said, open up a Chumash, Asher Dorsha Ben Zoma, Shenemar, Leman Tizkor Yom Tzedcha Meretz Mitzrayim, Koy Mechayacha. Then we have the Drosha Yimei Chayacha, the days, Koy Mechayacha, the nights, and the other Drosha, Yimei Chayacha, when we're living now, in this world, if we do it every day of our life, maybe that will help bring the time of Mashiach. If we have time, we'll talk about whether this is in the time of Mashiach or to bring the Mashiach. In other words, understanding the message of Yitzhak Mitzrayim will help facilitate Mashiach coming. I'll go in that direction very soon. Now, in my opinion, this is not just a little story. This is the key, one of the key points of the Seder. Why? I'm going to follow the Rambam, who holds that it's one mitzvah to tell the story once a year and mention it every day. If you're a brisker, you know there's a mitzvah of Sipur once a year, night, and Sekira every day and every night. It's one ongoing mitzvah, almost like the commandment, the need to pray. Just like you need to pray all the time, but once a day is enough, or twice, two, three times a day is better. There's in our minds, in our poor memory, every Jew has to have the memory of the Exodus in their mind all the time. And the goal of the yearly story is to recharge the daily memory. But the goal of Passover is the daily memory. Now, how does he know that? Every time you have the word Shenemar in your Haggadah, always look it up, down the line. And when you look it up, you see, just like we said with Avadim Ayinu, look up the source of Avadim Ayinu, and you'll see a very deeper message than what's on the surface. Here also, if I'm going to share I'm going to open up a Chumash now, in Sefer Dvarim, Perek, Tetzayim, the Torah reading in Chutzlars for the extra day of Yom Tov, and I need to find my Chumash. Here we go. Famous lines, Shemor Chodesh, chapter 16, the holidays in Devarim, the Shlosh Regalim. Shemor Chodesh Aviv, Vasita Pesach. Keep the month of the spring and do the Pesach for God. Why? Because in the month of the spring, God took you out of Egypt. And when you bring the Pesach, it needs to be B'makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, L'Shaken Shmo Sham. It should be what we call now Days Yerushalayim, in the Beit HaMikdash. And then, together with bringing the Pesach, what are we told? Don't eat chametz with it. In other words, to be worthy of thanking God for our redemption, we have to get rid of our bad behavior. That's a symbolism of chametz, that getting rid of your chametz is going to be more important than eating the matzah, because showing God, remember, before you can shech the Pesach, lo tishchat ha-chametz dam zivchi, we have that in the end of Parshat Mishpatim, the need to get rid of your bad behavior, to be worthy of saying thank you, goes hand in hand with the whole idea of Pesach, where to be worthy of being saved from the plague of the firstborn, we had to show God we can follow instructions. God had to see the dam, the blood on our doorpost, to know who's worthy of redemption, not to know who's Jewish, But to know who's willing to follow mitzvot, and that was our first chance to show God our commitment. We can't have chametz, and therefore, for 7 days, we can eat matzah, lechem oni. I'm sure that was the last topic. I'm sure we talked about this. Remember lechem oni, either poor man's bread or bread that reminds us of our affliction or conversation bread, because all those words are oni. It's beautiful wordplay, because we were rushed out in Egypt very quickly. But what's the goal of the yearly celebration? L'man tizkor yom tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim, kol yimei chayecha. The goal is to remember it every day of your life. Now, why is that memory so important? As long as we have Sefer Dvarim open, I'll just bring a couple of examples. We'll go back to chapter 5. All through Dvarim, in fact, in every single section of Chumash that has day-to-day laws, Parshat Mishpatim, Kedoshim Tiyu and Vayikra, and the laws in Dvarim, we use the memory of the Exodus as an educational tool that trains our core memory to be kind and sensitive. Just the best example is right in the Ten Commandments, the reason for Shabbat in chapter 5, verse 12. Okay. We're supposed to work 6 days a week. On the seventh day, we rest. Remember? But what's the reason why we can't work on Shabbat? L'man yanuach avdecha v'amatcha kamocha. That's the Ten Commandments in Devarim. We need a day of rest, so our workers have a day of rest. Followed by, remember, you were a slave in Egypt. And that's why God took you out of Egypt with an outstretched hand, Bizron Nitriya. And that's why God's commanding you to keep Shabbat. The goal of Shabbat is not to remember the Exodus. The goal of Shabbat here is to give your workers a day of rest, followed by the constant reminder in Sefer Dvarim, remember you were a slave in Egypt, and that has to shape your behavior. I'll just jump to a couple quick examples. Let's go quickly to chapter 10. These are all famous. Verse 12, when God asks, what is it that God wants from you? Remember the famous line, Vata Yisrael, what does God want from you? It's simple, just to fear him, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart, keep all his mitzvot. And then we describe God. What does God do? This is right out of Shemoneh Esrei. Ki Hashem Elokeichem, Hu Elohei Elohim, is the God of all the gods. He's the master of all the masters. Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor V'Anora, like we say in Shemoneh Esrei, who doesn't play favorites and doesn't take bribes. God is Oseh Mishpat Yatom V'Amanah, he does justice for the orphan and the widow. And God loves the stranger, giving him clothing and food. And that's what God does, but how does God do it? We as God's people, we have to love the stranger because we were strangers in Egypt. Here you have the same thing. The memory of the Exodus is going to shape our behavior. As long as we're in Sefer Dvarim, I'll just give a real quick example. We will go to chapter, I'm sharing my screen, aren't I?
No.
Not shared.
No, we don't see it.
We can't see it.
We don't see it.
Okay, now I'm better. There we are. In chapter 10, sorry about that. Tell me next time I don't share my screen. We had the Ten Commandments in Dvarim, which you knew by heart. And now in Sefer Dvarim, in chapter, I would just go right to chapter 24. Those are the best examples. When you're doing the court system, we're told, lo tateh mishpat ger yatom, don't mistreat the judgment of a stranger and a widow, and don't mistreat, again, a widow or a stranger and an orphan. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt, and that's why God took you out of Egypt. Vayiftecha Hashem elokecha misham. The purpose of our coming out of Egypt was to remember our slavery, and when we become that nation, the way we behave has to be a model for other nations to learn from, and we redeem our history, we take that suffering instead of oppressing others. We were oppressed. We know what it feels like to be oppressed. We don't do that to others. The same thing if we're gathering our field. We're gathering the grain in our field. We're supposed to leave over a bundle left over. Leave it for the strange orphan widow, like in Megillat Ruth. The same thing with our olives. The same thing with our grapes. And then finally, remember you were a slave in Egypt and no one took care of you. When you become a nation, that has to be core to your memory, and that's how you have to behave. So Chumash is using over and over again the memory of the Exodus to shape our behavior. Just to put icing on the cake, go to Parshat Mishpatim in chapter 22, when we get the ethical section of laws after the judicial system of the Mishpatim for the court system. In chapter 22, we're told, V'ger lo toneh, remember, don't mistreat and don't cheat a stranger. Don't put pressure on him because you were strangers in Egypt. And the same thing with an orphan and a widow. And if they cry out, God will hear the cry and punish you, just like we cried out in Egypt and God heard our cry. If that's what we do to others, that's what God will do to us. It's one of the biggest themes of Chumash. And if that wasn't enough, that's followed by a whole set of laws about primarily ethical behavior in good society, returning less items, proper judgment, returning, not, what do you call it, midvash sheker terchak, and not taking bribes, not taking shochad. And the grand finale, v'ger lo techatz, and this is the key line, v'atem yedatem et nefesh ager, ki ger mi etem beretz Mitzrayim. You know what it feels like to be a stranger. You were strangers in Egypt. So let me just quickly summarize, because we don't have too much time. I think the point is obvious, that the goal of this, of telling the story, is not to say thank you, it's to act thank you. It's, we tell the story, it has to sensitize us, because Chumash is using that story, not just for us to say thank you every day of our life, but to act thank you, because that memory shapes our day-to-day behavior. When do we mention the Exodus every day and every night? When we, at the end of the Shema, when we pledge allegiance, and remember that Hashem is our boss, that He chose us at Har Sinai to serve Him. And Hashem was our boss. He's everyone's God. Hashem Elokeinu is the one and only God, and we're chosen to serve Him. The way we serve God is by the society that we build, the community we build, the family, the nation. And that memory that's going to shape our behavior to be a nation known for kindness and righteousness and care for the less fortunate, that has to shine through. Therefore, we go crazy about the story once a year to recharge our memory, to make sure we talk about it every single day of our, to remember, not we just mention every day of our life, but we fulfill it every day of our life. If that's the case, then prayer becomes transformative. Because when I say the Shema and remember I'm chosen to serve God, and when I say the third parsha of Kriyat Shema and remember the Exodus, I remember why God put me into Egypt to take me out. Why God put me through that experience that started, remember, with Ben Abtarim, which I'm sure you'll get to in the next two sections. That point is going to not just pray and therefore thank God, but if that's understood and internalized, when you finish davening, you'll be a better person when you live your day-to-day life when prayer is over. So I think if I go back to the Magid, I'll go back to the Magid page what we're up to. So why again is am I bringing the story about the five rabbis? I think Rabbi Elazar ben Saar really knew the answer. He's like sharing his understanding because he wants to get to the answer. Look in Sefer Dvarim that the goal of the yearly celebration is the daily memory. It's almost the same thing, our yearly celebration of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we remember that God's our king. He chose us to serve Him. We're in His service. Malchiot, that's when we say Shema every day. We remember the theme of Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we go crazy about God being our king and our boss. But He's the king of all mankind, but we're chosen to serve Him and we're His employees. And I go crazy about it once a year, but I need to remember every day when I say Shema. 6 months later, 6 months earlier, what do? We say the same thing about the story of the Exodus, and we recharge that memory that shapes our behavior. And every day we tie the two together in a beautiful manner. Now, that was paragraph 5. Now let's continue quickly to paragraph 6, and we'll go back, and I want to go back to Avadim Ayinu. Paragraph 6, in fact, I had a discussion with Rabbi Jay. In my opinion, paragraph 6 belongs with the four sons, because this is Birchat HaTorah. Before you engage in Torah study, you should make a blessing. So we do once a day to cover the whole day, but in theory, every time you sit down to engage in Torah study, you make Birchat HaTorah. So Baruch HaMakom is a nice way of referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bedi be blessed. We bless the God who gave us the Torah, the Birchat HaTorah. And then we begin the story of Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. I don't want to take away from the person from the next topic who's going to go into that. But in the drasha of the four sons, and here we have the Chacham, remember the Chacham's question, we're quoting from Dvarim. The question in Chumash, which is what's the purpose of the laws of a normal son? And we answer Arba Dimayinu. Here, we turn this question into a wise son. And it's, what are the laws? And we teach them the laws of Pesach, the last law in Masechet Pesachim, about Afikoman. But therefore, I'm not going to spend too much time on number 6, because I think it's the introduction to the four sons. It could be simply a blessing, but in my opinion, I'm not sure what the other opinion is, but I just think it makes more sense that paragraph six is the introduction to the four sons, which gives me time to go back to a bit of a deeper insight onto the Avarimayinu. Why are we quoting from here? If I go back to the original obligation to tell the story, remember the whole first, let me make this real small for a second. The whole first column here, the first seven paragraphs here of Magid, you know, the icebreaker, Halach Ma'anya, where you start the conversation and the children being involved and the simple answer for the children about gratitude and then getting the adults involved, even the know-it-alls, and talking about who's obligated, both children and adults, why we're obligated, not just gratitude, but to remember it every day to shape our behavior, how we tell the story, the four sons, when we tell the story, Yachol Min Rosh Chodesh, that's all a pregame show. The actual story begins with Brit Ben Abtarim in paragraphs 8 and 9, because the highlight that there's a purpose in our going down to Egypt goes back to the Brit, the covenant God made with Avram Avinu. I'm sure that'll be the topic of a later, when we get to that section. I want to go back to the Pasuk, which is the beginning of this entire discussion about why we have to tell the story. Perek Yud-Gimel Sefer Shemot, our obligation. We just left Egypt in chapter 12. Moshe tells the people, remember this day you left Egypt. God took you out with a chosek yad, with a strong hand, and don't eat chametz. Today you're leaving in the spring. When you come to the land of Israel, do this avodah, most likely bring the Pesach in this month. And with the Pesach, eat matzah for 7 days. Remember, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochal, eat matzah for 7 days. And then, on the seventh day, a holiday for God, matzot should be eaten for 7 days. You can't see any chametz and you can't see any se'or in all your borders. Now, here comes the big pasuk that everything's based on. What do you tell your children on that day? On that day, on what day? The day. The Chazal understand. The day we start eating matzah. Because remember, we say in Haggadah, I might think we should tell the story from Rosh Chodesh. That's Yochum Rosh Chodesh. No, we tell the story on the day when we're about to eat matzah, because it says, Bavur said, for the sake of this matzah, God did for me these miracles, take me out of Egypt. But when you read this verse carefully, it seems like it's saying, what do you tell your children on that day when you start eating matzah in the spring? For the sake of this matzah, it says, referring to the matzah you're eating, for the sake of this matzah, God did for me all these miracles, taking me out of Egypt. Now, if I read the pasuk, that's a question. How do we understand it? Am I supposed to explain to my children why I'm eating matzah or why God took me out of Egypt? The simple, if bavur means for the sake of, then in essence, what's God saying? What's Chumash saying? We explain to our children the reason why God took me out of Egypt was to eat matzah. Which sounds really strange, but that's what Rashi says. Bavur zeh, bavur shakei mitzvotav, kegon pesach matzah moror. In other words, God didn't I'm not eating matzah to remember that God took me out. I'm eating matzah to remember why God took me out of Egypt. There's, for the sake of this matzah, and matzot is like the word mitzvot, and basically Rashi's saying, and Ebenezer Ezra will agree, that the main message to our children isn't what happened, but why it happened. Which is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying in Sefer Devarim. We'll go back to that in a minute. Let me share with you Eben Ezra, who quotes Rabbeinu Hanano, who's quoted by Ramban. He quotes Rabbeinu Rabbi Marina, so we call him Rabbi Hanano. Bavur, for the sake of this, the Rabbi Marina says, switch the words around, which really means Ze Bavur. Okay? No, this matzah is to remember that God did for me these miracles, and that's why I'm eating matzah, to remember what God did for me. And he brings some examples, and he says, not one of them is right. All those examples he brings, how can we turn God's words inside out? And the pasuk is exactly opposite of what he's saying, because we don't need matzah to remember what God did. Rak pirush bavur zeh, listen, bavur zot avodah, I have to translate English if you want, for this avodah, which is eating matzah and not eating chametz, which is the beginning of all the mitzvot which God commanded us. God did all these miracles when he took us out of Egypt. Batam, the reason, God only took us out of Egypt in order that we can serve him. We're employees, not consumers. And as it says every day in Shema, Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim, Lo Lachad Alamim. The reason I took you out of Egypt was to be your God, so for you to serve me. Therefore, the main commandment of the Seder, of Igat Levincha, is to remember not what happened, but why it happened. Now, what's the proof that Rashi and Ibn Ezra are correct? Let's go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. When our children ask us in general, why keep all the laws? What do we tell them? Why keep the entire Torah? We say God was involved in our history, Avadim Ayinu. God took us out of Egypt for a purpose. The whole idea that tell our children that God took us out of Egypt for a purpose to keep his mitzvot, and that's why he gave us the land of Israel and gave us nation and watches our history. It's all right here in the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Devarim. Tell your children, we were slaves. God took us out with great miracles. He took us out in order to bring us to the land, and he commanded us to keep these mitzvot, okay? To fear God, they're for our good, and it's the right thing to do when we keep all his mitzvot as we commanded. So Rashi's explanation is exactly Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Sefer Devarim. It's also at the end of Tidum Kufay. And just for the fun of it, anyone remember we are in davening on a special holiday? We say these last two psukim. Si pasach habdalah nchafei, vasevin Hashem lasot chokim ele, dirautan ustaka, bracha tielanu acho Yisrael, ki nishmor ta mitzvah zot. Anyone remember when we do this? Anybody? Guess not. Rabbi Jay remembers. Okay, good. So we have 1 minute left. Rosh Hashanah davening. Remember Hayom Tamtzeinu, Hayom Tevarchenu? And then Kayom Hazeh, then we sing Habiyotim Ahar Kodshi. And the very end of Musaf, right before we conclude with Baruch Atah Yisrael B'Shalom, those last two psukim are Rosh Hashanah. And the first two psukim here are Pesach. Remember I told you the two ends of the calendar, remembering that God's our boss, that we're chosen to serve him. How we serve him is Passover, by being kind and sensitive, and the end of Rosh Hashanah davening ties the two together beautifully. And therefore, when we sing Avadim Ayinu, it sounds like a real simple answer of Hakar Satov to the young child, but to those who know Zer Chumash, it's much deeper. It's not about saying thank you, it's about acting thank you. It's understanding the purpose of our chosenness and how we redeem our history, and that core memory of our suffering has to shape our day-to-day behavior. And hopefully we'll continue to act that way, or begin to act that way a little better. And in that schut, God will guard our country and save us from our enemies, as we are being challenged with today. Okay, I think I have 30 seconds for a question.
Thank you, thank you. I will just say, if nobody has a question for 30 seconds, the reason that I put Baruch HaMakom with you and not with the four sons, that's based on Rav Rimon's Haggadah. That Rav Rimon claims there for the Haggadah.
I know, I've had that.
Okay, I'm just saying for the be right. So he thought
people are can argue with each other.
We disagree with that, which is totally fine. But anyways, that's so we can have Baruch HaMakom either at the end or the beginning. But okay.
Okay. That's also, Jeb, can you send that source sheet to the group? Because someone asked
me. Yeah, I did. You had, you know, two source sheets. It took a while, but they're both posted on the website.
Okay, good.
One with the whole Magid, and that's what I put. They're all posted on the website. And the second one, they're both there. So you can take a look there.
Okay, Chag Sameach to everybody. And
I hope you get back soon, Rabbi.
Wait.
You should hear good news.
Amen. Okay. Amen.